There is a person with us this morning who has been a great friend to this church. Bruce Martin, our district supervisor for the Evangelical Free Church, has many times, I think I called him the other night, like 10 o'clock at night, he's there for us to be able to just bounce things off him. Been a great help, encouragement, an exhorter of the elders. I don't know if I should tell you the inner secrets of what goes on, but I will, just one thing. We were chatting recently about just the search for a new senior pastor, and Bruce told me, he said, well, Elam's greatest need isn't for a new senior pastor, you know, and I'm like, really? Feels that way. And he said, no, Elam's need is God is leading you to become, as a church, something more. He's leading you to, you know, you have a desire in your heart to be effective and minister in your community, to reach your neighbors, to reach this community for Christ. And you need to be doing that even before the new lead pastor gets here. He will be frustrated if we're not, as leaders, as elders, if we're not focusing on the task that we desire to do. And so that's been my encouragement to the elders, that let's really begin to preach what we want to see happen in this church. And my encouragement to all of you as well, we need to embrace that vision and go there. And, you know, we read this morning in Scripture the great commandment. It's the main thing God wants us to do, to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And part of that love is reaching those neighbors that are lost and need Him. And so we want, our desire in our heart is to do that as a church. So Bruce is in lockstep there with us. I think he's going to bring some challenges to us this morning about how we do that. And so Bruce has been with the Free Church, I think he said about 15 years, was a senior pastor before that. He came all the way up from Eugene, Oregon to be with us this morning. And he's, you know, ever since I can remember, he's been a part of the landscape of our church and real guidance to us. So I'm going to invite Bruce to come up, and he's going to deliver the message to us this morning.
Good morning, Elam Church. What a hoot to be with you this morning, and very, very different circumstances. Just a word to you, like you only do pastoral transitions in this church about once every 25 years, apparently. Next time, take a moment and look at your calendar and make sure there aren't any, like, global epidemics that are taking place. Wow, I mean, that's a really challenging transition to navigate, to be sure. And then you add some of the realities that you all have had to navigate through the specifics of this this experience together. And man, I have nothing but admiration for the folks who have been serving you on your board. Have had to make some really difficult decisions, have found themselves in a situation where there's absolutely no absolute right decision, and they've tried to facilitate life together in a season where we are all prevented from being together, and they have borne it well. And I'm proud of them, and it's been good to interact with them. I want to do something a little bit odd this morning. I want to kind of do two talks because I did come up here all the way from Eugene, and it seems like just to do one talk is not making the most of my time. So, you know, if we're here for a couple hours, I know you guys are gracious and you'll understand, right? It's good. Now, I'd like to spend a few minutes talking just to Ryan this morning. And I think he sensed that maybe this would be the case because he hid way back in the corner over here. Right? I mean, Ryan, body language is everything, man. I mean, the things you communicate non-verbally, they're a big deal. So Ryan is over here hiding, and I'm going to be talking to Ryan for the first part of my talk this morning. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to eavesdrop You know, have you ever had that feeling in a worship service where the talk is going on and you're going like, wow, I sure wish so-and-so were here to hear this because she really needs to hear this. He really needs to hear this. Well, this morning, as I'm talking to Ryan, you get to eavesdrop, right? And then we're going to turn the tables. And I want to talk for a few minutes to you as a congregation with Ryan and Brianna eavesdropping a little bit. So that's kind of where I want to go this morning. And I want to start with just saying I'm not anchoring this in a particular passage, but what I'm sharing with you, Ryan, and what I'm sharing with you as a congregation at Elam is the essence, from my perspective, of what it means to be people of faith. It's that sauce that when you boil it down on the stove and you reduce it and reduce it and reduce it till you can't reduce it anymore. It's this kind of stuff that I want to share with you this morning, right? Because in the work of doing the church, in the work of being the church, sometimes we can be so busy in what we're trying to do that we just assume that what we are producing and what is developing in us as a result of our investment is the stuff that God wants for us. But from my perspective as a leader in the evangelical church with a lot of access to different churches and able to kind of survey the landscape, I'm very concerned that the reality in virtually all of our evangelical churches, not just evangelical free, but evangelical churches, is that people in our communities are staying away by the droves. Right? And so I want us to not to be disheartened by that. I want us to begin to ask the question, why is that the case? And what is it that they want? Do they want a different kind of a vibe in our service? Please. No. No. What is it they're after? This most compelling person who has ever lived, our Lord Jesus Christ, is in us. And they're not asking for dogma. And they're not asking for sophistication of theology and knowledge. My peers and your peers are asking one question. Does it work? Does it work? Does the life that is really the life work? Not because you say it works, but because I see it in you, and it is my conviction, it's my heart, and it's my experience, then we can let people see that sort of life in us. There's something compelling about that. That they're drawn to that. They want that. And why shouldn't they? We get one go around in this game of life. Why should we not want to aspire to the life that matters the most? That's what I want to talk with you this morning. And Ryan, I want to start with you this morning. And I want to say that, you know, using a sociologist, Brené Brown, as a starting point here this morning, she makes the observation that who we are and how we interact with our world is the best predictor of parenting success. Not the books we read, not the knowledge we've gained. And that's true of everyone who desires to use their life as a point of influence. I'm expanding in that way beyond the narrow bandwidth of just being a parent. Who we are and how we interact with our world is a much better predictor of good influence than the books we've read or the experts we've consulted. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, after that amazing teaching called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew captures the response of the crowds when he says, when Jesus was done speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. they said, he taught as one who had authority, not like our teachers of the law. Ouch. And he wasn't, the crowd wasn't seeing some kind of a halo over Jesus, something that identified him as God in human flesh. They experienced him as a man, just like you are experiencing me as a man this morning. There was nothing else. What was the essence of this authority that the crowd was getting? The authority of Jesus was that the things that he taught came out of the convictions of his life in terms of how he lived his life. As I've developed as a man, as I've grown up as a man, this has been the hardest thing in the world for me. Earlier in my life, in ways that I can't even begin to understand, I was taught that the best way to live life is to read the circumstances and be who you need to be in the moment. And on some level, that makes great sense. But on the most fundamental level, on the most basic level, it produces a life that's not worth living. The life that Jesus has called me to is a life of integration, of being fully who he's asked me to be, who he's made me to be, whether I'm speaking to you, or whether I'm having lunch at a pub with a friend, or whether I'm out on my sailboat, or whether I'm in the marketplace. When you experience me, you're going to experience me. And there's not going to be a confusion because, oh, who is he today? So I'd like to say just three things to you, Ryan, that sound awfully basic. I'm still trying to master them. Number one, trust that our Father is enough for you. Ryan, you live in a world, as I live in a world, where many, many people believe in God as their Father, but they believe it in a way that asks little except for simple belief that that's true. A lot of people think about God as Father, not in a personal way, but in a doctrinal way. Do you know the difference? Live with a sense of God as being your Father, Ryan. I choose to accept in my circumstances of my life, whether it's in my home or in my roles or in the marketplace, whether I'm experiencing great opportunities or severe hardship, I choose to accept this, that I'm not alone. That my Father is with me, that he is enough for me, that he has answers for me. The battle begins in my mind, and the battle will begin in your mind as well, Ryan, in that place where our perceptions are shaped. It manifests in one of two ways, whether you're getting this or whether you're not getting it. It's evident in, it begins in the thoughts that you think about the circumstances that you are in. When things get hard, when things get difficult, and I'm not talking about a little indigestion, I'm talking about sleepless nights, I'm talking about carrying a terrible burden of anxiety within you. I'm talking about difficulty, and each of us knows there are areas of our lives where we have felt this or where we currently feel this. When we are in those difficult situations, some people say, I know that God is my Father. I know that he will take care of me. I know that he has shown me the way I should go. But in this circumstance, I think I've got to do this instead. Who of us has not done that? Has that not defined all of our journeys, folks? Can we not bring to mind specific things where knowing the right way to go. We have made concessions. So there's no shame in this, Ryan. I'm not bringing this to say, get it right. Don't get this wrong. Everything depends on you getting it right. My invitation to you as a fellow traveler in this journey of understanding God's Father heart is that even when I get it wrong, He will use those experiences to help shape in me a correction. As I taste the difficulty and the burden and the complexity of what happens when I follow my own instincts instead of His way. Right? So there's nothing but hope in this. He is a God of love. He is not punitive. He doesn't diminish you. He doesn't take good things from you. He doesn't want to ruin your life. He wants you to find fullness of life. It's just His ways. Well, to be honest, they're a little goofy. In my mindset, right? So here's another option. When things get hard, when things get difficult, when things get overwhelming, some people say, Father, I don't know what to do, but You do, and I will wait on You. The same word, but a whole different understanding. Ryan, it'll be the hardest work of your life in ministry to live under this awareness and behaviorally conform to the reality that you are one of God's favorite kids, just like I am, just like all of them are. Right? And they don't need to hear you teach about God's faithfulness as Father as much as we need You to show us what it looks like to be anchored in the peace and the well-being and the freedom and the joy of a man, no matter what he faces, knows that as he waits on God, God is enough. Learn to live into the Father heart of God, Ryan. The second thing I would say to you as a pastor is it's not rocket science, but it's so counterintuitive. Love people. Part of the strange reality in our day is that we live in this world where people, even far from God, know that Jesus is the manifestation of love. And part of their concern and part of their confusion is that Jesus' people don't seem to be the expression of that love. Ouch. And so, Ryan, I'm going to issue you a hard word here this morning, and I'm going to say it's true absolutely all the time, everywhere, and there is no exception to this. Regardless of the circumstance, there is never an agenda or goal or strategy that you can pursue in the name of Jesus when in order to achieve it, you have to compromise the way of Jesus. Part of your appeal, I'm sure, as you talked with the search committee and the elder board here and interacted with the various ones, is you give off the vibe that you kind of know where you're going, you have a vision for ministry, you got a guy who can express that vision and can call people to it and get things to move. My friend, that's a double-edged sword. It's like a friend of mine said to me recently in Eugene. He's an attorney and he's a couple, just two or three years younger than me. And he said, Bruce, let me say it to you this way. If I never have to sit under some young Turk pastor who shares his vision for me and then values me according to the way I fit in that vision, it will be too soon. That's a difficult place to be, Ryan. As a guy who was formed in Western culture and a guy who understands that so much of the church is mistaking success for faithfulness, to be that guy who has enough convictional clarity in his own voice to say, I'm after spiritual transformation. To help people find this way that is really the way. To help people live like Jesus and love like Jesus. Love people well, Ryan. It's a vulnerable way to have to lead. By the world's standard, it's a weak place to have to lead. And in my opinion, it's the reason why people are not seeing Jesus in our world. We've got really well-intentioned pastors and leaders who've laid hold of Western success metrics and tried to make them work in the church. Man, with all my heart, I appeal to you. Don't fall into that. Right? Trust, Father, with all your heart and soul and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, Ryan, man, I could spend 2 hours just talking about this. You might get impatient. I know these people wouldn't, but you might get a little impatient if I took that time. But Ryan, there's magic in that, what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know way too many pastors and leaders who expend themselves trying to be heroic, trying to be the guy, trying to get it right for his people at the expense of his own well-being. And man, this is not Bruce talking, this is Jesus, right? Luke 6:40, at the end of the day, we reproduce who we are. I'll leave it at that. And then finally, Ryan, in your teaching and in your influence, be clear in this. I appeal to you. It sounds like a minor deal, but it's everything. Help people understand faith as a way to live and not simply a way to believe. It's relatively easy for me to talk to you folks this morning about these principles and these ideas. They're just from 30,000 feet. The reality of transformation in each one of our lives around these issues, what's preventing me from living like God is my Father? What are the issues in my journey in life that are creating a low ceiling where I want to, but I can't? And why is God not? Why don't I? That's going to be different for every single one of us in this room. What is preventing me from loving you fully, accepting you, believing God for you? My goodness, there's so much that has wounded us with respect to even understanding what healthy love looks like. Right? We can pronounce these things as though pronouncing them is the thing. But that's not the thing, Ryan. The thing is to get alongside of people, and as you listen to them and as you interact with them and as you hear things in their attitudes or in their anger or in their bent definitions of what love is, and on and on and on, you find the courage, you find the boldness, you find the compassion to say, hey man, right there, that thing you just said. I'm not sure where you learned that attitude, that behavior, that tone. I'm not sure where you learned that, but I'm sure you didn't learn it from Jesus. And if you want, I'll take a journey with you and help you think about this in terms of a better way to be as a human being. There's a reason why pastors don't do that frequently. It's because human beings resist change. And some human beings will become defensive and angry in the midst of that sort of an appeal, Ryan. And so it's easier to declare this stuff from a distance and assume that just because we name it and speak it, they will get it. Teach faith not as a way to believe, but as a way of life. Right? That's easy. Trust Father in everything. Love people well. Teach faith as a way of life and not simply a way to believe. Piece of cake. There will be a test. And you know what I'm talking about, Ryan. The test will emerge from your life and the story of your own influence. And now to you as a congregation. I want to say to you, well done in navigating a journey here of several months, years in this strange season and difficulty of this new dance that you've had to figure out to do with distancing and masks and all, and well done. And I also feel like this guy that I would be if I went to a wedding and the bride and the groom are having just recently been married and they're in the reception line and everybody's excited and everybody's happy and everybody's full of hopefulness, and I'm the guy who grabs them both by the forearm and says, "Listen to me. That thing that you just said this morning, all of your hopes and all of your dreams, and I pledge my life to you in sickness and in health, and all those are just words. The measure of your love is what happens when things get hard. And things will get hard. Who wants to be that guy? Who wants to be the one who throws a wet blanket on the celebration? Not me. I don't want to do that, but I want to be realistic with you in this to say, as Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, the measure of your strength is not how you do when you hit the jackpot. The measure of your strength is how you do in times of trouble. Right? I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep it in mind, not to bring you down, not to discourage you in any way. But trouble has this weird way of showing up, and it never, ever, ever says, "Hey, consult your calendar, will you? Like, I'm thinking October of 2023. Does that work for you? Because I've got an opening, and I'll, you know, let's mark that." No, trouble just shows up unannounced, unexpected. Right? And so as a congregation, I want you to know that you can begin a new way of doing life here together, holding each other to these patterns, not letting anything other than these patterns be defining and normative for you, finding the courage to confront one another if you see a different pattern or hear a different pattern. And the pattern that I'm calling you to is trust. Hebrews 13 says, do this dance between those who are serving you and your response to them in a way that brings joy to their work. Trust those who are serving you. I have yet to meet the human being or the congregation, which is a collection of human beings, who welcomes change. Change is difficult. That's why whole volumes are written about it. Navigating it is tentative. And the thing that gets compromised is trust. And I'm not asking you to trust this man over here in the corner. Can you see him? He's the guy hiding from you over here. He's hiding in the corner and he's hiding behind a mask. Right? I'm not even asking you to trust this man. I'm asking you to trust our Father. Can you say that with me? I trust you, Father. This was not your brilliance. This was not the convergence of strategic perfection that resulted in this experience of calling Ryan and Brianna, his wife, and her family to come and serve at Elam Church. After all the dust settles and all of the things that we have done, it has been the heart of our Father that has brought this to this place and time. And so when I'm asking you to trust this man, I'm saying to trust Father is the same as trusting this man. Do you hear the connection? And the interesting thing, as you look at leaders throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, none of us gets it right. Which is why God has to say, I mean business. Trust me. You have your litany of reasons why there's disappointment or confusion or it's going this direction and not that direction. Shh. Do you trust me? As Jesus said in that passage that Larry read this morning, if your spiritual journey, your mentors, your teaching, your understanding of who our Father is has not brought you to the place where you can love God with all your heart and soul and mind, trust Him. Then all of that mentoring and all of that teaching and all of that training has been wasted. The whole point of it is to bring me and to you and us to a place where we're willing to say, even if it's against my instincts, Father, even if it's against the data in front of me, yet I trust you. Trust Ryan by trusting your Father. And I want to say the same thing to you that I said to Ryan when I said, I'm going to say something just unequivocal. There is no exception to this. Elam Church, I want to say this to you. I want you to hear me. If you're into tattoos, I want you to tattoo it on your forearm. Regardless of my circumstances, there is no agenda that I might pursue in the name of Jesus when to achieve that agenda, it means that I have to abdicate from the way of Jesus. There is no conservative or progressive agenda. There is no racial agenda. There is no socioeconomic agenda. We need to be so careful with this, church. Because the reality of it is, when we have an agenda, we are no longer trusting the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. The accomplishing of that agenda is the thing that our soul is going to pursue. Be the church together. Elevate the way of Jesus. Understand that there are so many disparate people in this community, so many options where we can partner together with people out in the community in all kinds of ways. But my goodness, friends, be careful that you don't burden your pastor or your leaders with a specific agenda that you feel passionate about, that you feel like needs to define your church. Because at that point, it's not our Father's church anymore. Do you hear me? We are marked with the sort of division on this front that is just tearing us apart. Not this week, the week before last, I had 5 conversations with pastors who were at their end game, literally. They are so weary of this constant battering that's going on. Why aren't we doing this? Why are we doing that? Why? What? And it's nobody is taking it casually. Everybody has a strong opinion. And none of it comes from our Father, people. We are people of Jesus. Our hope is in Him. It's not in some expression of an agenda that we carry. It's not that our agendas and our hearts and our passions don't matter. But they need to find their proper place. We are a people of peace. We are a people of love. We elevate that clearly because we understand that all of God's teaching in our lives, whether it's through the heart of a compassionate mentor, through a reading of the Word of God, or anything, is only appropriate as it leads us to the place of trusting God as Father and loving our neighbor as ourself. Every other use is misuse. This is what I mean when I say trouble will come. At some point, Ryan will begin to feel the burden of your expectations of what this church needs to be. It's okay to assert that. And then pray. Pray for this brother that he might experience God's heart as Father. Pray for this brother that he might be free from the burden of insecurity and fear, because when you feel anxiety and fear, you cannot hear the Spirit of Christ. The very presence of anxiety and fear reveals that there is an agenda that I'm carrying that I feel inadequate to accomplish, but I also feel a burden of making it happen. And my Father is just this wacky set of deals, right? I mean, He says things like, do you remember the prophet Isaiah 64:4? Since ancient times, since the beginning of time, no one has perceived, no ear has heard, no eye has seen any God besides You who acts on behalf of those who I know you don't know me. Usually when I pause like that and I bend forward, of those who wait for Him. This is the hardest thing you will ever do, is to choose not to take matters into your own hand and abdicate the way of Jesus, but to wait for what our Father wants to do. Pray for Ryan, that God might reveal Himself to Ryan in ways that help him remain encouraged. Help him not to feel like he has to hide in the corner. Pray for our Father's blessing on Elam Church. Pray for our Father's blessing on Ryan and Brianna and their family. Pray for our Father's blessing on those who are serving Your church in roles of elders. God will pour out His blessing. This is who He is. Proverbs 24:10. If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Trust Father. Love each other well. And pray. Pray. And wait. That's all I wanted to say this morning. Thank you for the chance of sharing my heart with you. I am so encouraged at this opportunity that God has poised Elam Church at, in the character of this man that you've called to be your pastor. blessings on you.